Now being recorded. If you do not wish to be recorded, you may disconnect at this time. Please proceed.
Thanks, operator. So welcome, everybody. This is our next weekly HSTLD call. I'm going to quickly take roll call and then look at the agenda with everybody. And if anyone has any desire to amend the agenda, we can go over it just after roll call. As is usual, I'll call everyone's name. If you don't hear me call your name, please ring in and let me know. I've got Derek Andres, John McElwain, Mikey O'Connor, Mike Pelage, Eric Brenner-Williams, Brian Cute, Frank Martin, and Jonathan Franks. I think they spelled your last name wrong there, Jonathan, but I got you. Did I miss anybody? Okay. So in today's agenda, we've got a couple of open items. Originally we wanted to talk about some three areas that we have open for potential vote. The idea wouldn't be to vote right now. The idea would be to talk about what the issues are and then propose perhaps a web-based voting session over the next week or so for each of these categories. I'm not sure that's the right thing to do, so I'm going to open it up and ask if we want to amend the agenda at this point. Mike Pelage, did you want to I'm not sure if I heard you clearly, if you wanted to amend the agenda or not.
Nope, I'm fine. We could, as I said, I think based upon the May 15th informal deadline that Kurt and staff have sort of requested us to meet, I think it would be good for the group to potentially nail down these three broader issues so that we could at least incorporate that into the next version of the DAG to get feedback from the community of whether we're going down the right path or not.
Exactly. All right, so I'll start the discussion off, Mike, and then what I'll do is I'll talk about the three areas. And then we can go through each area sort of one by one about the decision points. And I think, Mike, you have some thoughts on perhaps a web vehicle to initiate a vote. But the idea would be that ultimately the advisory group is leaning toward a recommendation through the vote in these three areas. So the first area is something I think that we all have pretty good consensus on. We took a straw man vote a few weeks ago, but we'd probably like to memorialize this with an official vote, and that is a vote on the on whether the HSTLD advisory group, or the HSTLD program, I should say, for all TLDs or optional for only for TLDs that elect to pursue the program. So the idea here is, again, you know, mandatory or optional nature of the HSTLD. In our straw man poll from several weeks ago, we had a strong support, I believe, at least in the straw man poll, optional for voluntary. And that's been what a lot of the language of the group has been supportive of over the last few weeks as well. So with that, I'm going to open up to the floor really quickly. Does anybody want to have a dialogue around mandatory or optional? And or Mike, I think, did you want to talk a little bit about some of the web tools that we can push out via the...
Well, yeah, I mean, I think what we'll do is we'll just use a doodle, or Mikey, we'll just use the polling tool that the GNSO policy officers have used in connection with the VI. Basically what we'll do is within the next, say, 24 to 48 hours, when we decide to go forward, we will have some type of electronic mechanism to begin to poll the working group on this particular on these three questions.
Excellent. So, does anybody want to weigh in on the mandatory or optional options? Sorry to use the same word twice.
Or perhaps the better answer is, has anyone changed their opinion on mandatory or optional?
Hey, this is John McElwain. I haven't changed my opinion, but I think part of the discussion that's we've had and has clarified this point with me is that we need to have a little bit of a definition as to what the mandatory or optional is about. In other words, is it about the HSTLD program as defined in the original document? And to let you know where I'm coming from, I've mentioned this before, that I think that it would probably need to be mandatory if we were doing a ratings system in order to have anybody participate. I don't think that that is at all the intention, but that has been mentioned once or twice on these calls. Does that make sense?
Yeah, John.
No, I think,
go ahead, Mike.
I'm sorry, Andy. Yeah, John, I think this is the point you had raised last week when you provided a little more insight into the INTA comments on this particular aspect. Andy, just on that point there, were you or ICANN staff able to summarize the comments that were submitted during the public comment forum on our first snapshot?
I have the public comments literally right in front of me, and one of my tasks for this week is to get that closed and pushed off to ICANN staff. So,
okay, excellent.
Yeah.
All right. So again, perhaps I appreciate that point you just raised right there, John. Is there anyone else on the list that shares that particular viewpoint that has been expressed by John as well as articulated in the INTA comments? That perhaps there may be a mandatory score, a mandatory use if we've moved to a perhaps ranking or scoring of the proposals.
Was that a question to me, Mike, about the comments?
No, that was a question. That was a question to the group. So I didn't. I don't have the. Unfortunately, I was not able to write down the list. I'll just go through. I know there's Mikey, there's Brian, any of those people on the call, Simon, Barbara, any individuals. Perhaps you could just go through the list real quick with the call-in details and just ping people and see if they have any viewpoint on this. And if not, John, you sort of may be out there on an island on your own on this one, but again, I think we could reflect that as, in a minority aspect of our report or write-up in the DAG.
Well, and before we go through that whole exercise, I think the important point of that is not so much the hypothetical example I gave, but it just defining, if possible, what mandatory or voluntary means, because I think from a very high level, if we say it's a certification program, that I'm fine with that. It's to me, I think we need to define what is going to be mandatory or voluntary so that we all know which way to vote.
Okay.
Thank you.
And John, from this is Andy. From my perspective, it really is the question of, does the High Security TLD Advisory Group recommend that this program be mandatory for every TLD? In other words, every TLD has to go through it and do these activities? Or should it be elective or voluntary-based for TLDs that wish to have a higher level of control? That's the nature of the question.
And then, in my question, by program, do we mean what was described in the original concept paper?
Yes, I've used that, and the way I look at this too is this is the current recommendation. If in our development of the program we thought we should change that recommendation, I don't see that that's a problem. I don't know, Mike.
I agree.
Mike, do you agree with that, Mike Pelage?
I think I agree, but I just again want to read the documents and stuff. And perhaps what I'll do is, in the next, say, 24 hours, I will get the questions of the survey and circulate them before we start the vote, because I don't want to have a situation where we have loaded questions. I want to make sure that the questions we put out to vote, there's consensus among the group as opposed to their objective nature. So
gotcha.
Okay?
Okay.
This is Eric. I'd like to get in with you.
Eric, you're on deck. Go.
Thank you. Because this began as a financial services service model, I'm personally perplexed at the INTA comment, both the existence of it as well as the scope of it. That is, this is not about marks, nor is it about the properties of all applicants in any round for new GTLD, but something rather specific. So I'm expressing my puzzlement this last 5 minutes.
I mean, Eric, perhaps, and John, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, in reading both INTA's as well as the Steve Metallic's comments as well, I think what they are primarily driving on is one of the things that we focused on during the previous hour, which is how do you get in contact with people. So while we were focused on the last hour about what happens when there's a configure virus and you need to get in contact with registry infrastructure providers, I think the intellectual property constituency was looking at those flow down reporting mechanisms to have more accountability or trackability to registrants that might be engaged in perhaps illegal conduct. I think that is why they were somewhat interested in this this particular exercise. John, is that a fair characterization, or did I totally miss the ball?
Very fair.
Okay. So we're back to who is.
I want to try to avoid that third rail, but I think that there is the potential to go there. And again, you know, I would like to avoid who is, but I think that is some of their concerns. And you know, whether you're dealing with, you know, if you're saying there's a high security zone and something is going wrong or bad in it, tracking down people that could correct the problem is, I think, what they're driving at. So I respect your suspicion of their motivation, but I think it is a valid point.
Difference in service models. If one registrant of the DRC's namespace was a bad actor, that's a substantially different question. It's fundamentally different than attempting to obtain the present operational control of the DRC namespace itself. Either we're doing something that's fundamentally about the namespace operator, or we're doing something that's fundamentally about the leaves in the namespace. Either this activity is about the root or it's about the leaves. But to try and do it about both of them at the same time means we're not going to do a good job of either.
And as I said, Eric, you may recall some of the earlier, some of the first discussions we had in this group was when we were talking about a CERT program and a seal, what would a user see? What would they believe? So I agree we were at a leave level in those discussions. I think where we're at today is more of a root level. But I think what we should try to do is keep the objectives of this exercise so that they have the ability to scale to a root or a leave level without having to drill down to a level of specificity that waters down what we're trying to do. Again, that's my personal opinion, again, I'll leave other people in the group to, you know, agree or disagree. Okay, so I guess perhaps, John, I think your point now has been properly discussed, and do you have any problem with us moving on?
No.
Excellent. Okay, Andy, so I guess that was the – I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say the next vote, Mike, is gets to John's point. So we have two models that we've been talking about, report card and certification. So the report card being described in the snapshot development paper and the certification being described somewhat in there as well, and the certification being described in more detail in the original concept paper. The group's current recommendation around which way to to focus effort, I think, would be valuable if we can get it as well. And, John, I think this dovetails into your sort of, I got to know this before I know that, on the mandatory and optional. So we're trying to do both.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I'm gonna say that's the other vote that I think is on the table, and I'm gonna open it up to the floor for dialogue around that, like we did for the last one. Does anyone want to weigh in on report card or certification? Maybe John, you can start. I think you're a real big proponent of certification. I think.
I do think that I'm a proponent of certification. I don't the report card idea in a number of its concepts I support. I believe that a grading system would not be a good idea, and we've kind of vetted that for a number of reasons on these calls. I think that a report card, to the extent we talked about providing sort of levels of colors, is a workable system, and reminds me actually a lot of just multiple certifications. So I'm mainly just against a self-reporting grading system. I think that we all have when we were in college, if we had the opportunity to get graded or just take a class that was pass, fail, or no grade, we'd all take the pass, fail, or no grade. So I think that's what would happen with the registries.
I'd have 10 PhDs right now.
And that, particularly if you could self-report your grade.
Of course. And I've got a 4.0 average, too. Just ask me.
Right.
Does anybody else want to get in and weigh in on those two models?
Personally, I'm in favor of objective standards and the ability to test assertions made by the applicant or operator.
And, Eric, when you say that, you mean by sort of what we'll call, I'll use the language, qualified third party?
Yeah, God or something.
Yeah, somebody who's qualified to take a look as a non-associated third party and really say, yeah, you've done it, or no, you haven't.
I'm really happy to walk into VeriSign's shop any day of the week and measure the door jams and let them walk into my shop and measure the door jams as well.
Very well put. I like that. Thank you. Does anybody else want to weigh in on those two? I think this is more sort of just directional voting than it is, anything else, but very important.
All right. So then there was the third point, I think, Andy, that you wanted to get some guidance on.
Yeah, and the third point we came up. I don't know if we're ready for a vote on this or not. So I'm going to explore this a little bit. It's the concept of an RFI, so a request for information. And should there be an RFI at this point or not? And the concept here, and Mike, come in if I'm misrepresenting this one. The concept is there are several key activities that take place with the HSTLD program. One of them is managing and maintaining the controls. That's one activity. Another activity is gathering the assessments of the controls and sort of granting either the report card or granting the certification. There are two separate activities. And then you can see some other activities as well, the assessors, so there's activities that the assessors have to do. The RFI concept that was floated, I believe, last week and the week before in this call was really around the running of the program. So not necessarily the managing and the maintaining of the controls, but actually granting of the HSTLD either certification or granting of the report card. Working with the assessor groups to gather information to substantiate that grant, and so forth. So it really would be in operating and running the program. And the thought, if I'm correct about this, the thought from the group was, ICANN really shouldn't be doing that. Perhaps they should be releasing an RFI to find out if there's an interested party that would take the operational aspects of the program and own it.
This Mike, is a secretarial function.
Yeah, I think, Eric, that's a good way to look at it, I think. Mike, does that encompass the RFI correctly?
I think based upon the discussions that took place last week, yes. Again, I think the devil will be in how we actually frame the detail, and that's something I think you and I will have to work on in the next, say, 24 to 48 hours. So,
well, if it's secretarial, the real details are going to be in the execution, that is, in the auditing function itself. The auditors are their third party or not, but their qualifications, the standards which they are attempting to verify. Secretariat function is not that difficult.
Right.
Just a mere technical coordinating function, right, Eric?
I think I've heard that phrase somewhere before, Michael. I just don't know where.
It used to be able to be done for $2 million a year. Now it can't be done for under 60. Anyway, sorry, I had to get that in.
Uh-oh. I think I'm treading in shark-infested waters.
Memory.
All right. So the idea would be, and I think I'm accurately stating this, when you know the expectation or the thought from the group was that ICANN perhaps would continue to serve, or the recommendation would be that ICANN continue to serve as the sort of the community organizer for the control standards and the standards of and the requirements of the program to make sure that the community is coming together and helping to manage that portion. But the sort of the secretarial piece, Eric, to your point, the operational piece of the program could be explored with another entity through the use of an RFI.
I'm happy with the second half of what you just said. The first half, however, concerns me.
Okay. Let's explore that. Which piece?
The ICANN coordinating or something mumble the community.
So what I was meaning by that is so
but the service models we're attempting to cause to come into being originates in financial services, which is a narrower or different. It is not the same as ICANN's interest. And
okay.
if that is where our ultimate certification service goes to, and therefore the authentication model and any standards which we develop, those really originate from a different community than ICANN as a big catch-all.
Right. So this is Andy's thinking. I don't know if we've even talked about this sufficiently, but the thought would be, so we're going through a program now where we've got a sort of a draft control structure, and our HSTLD advisory group has got a little technical focus group that's going through those controls, and you know, we're trying to fix them up and make them acceptable and useful to provide a heightened level of security for TLDs that choose to use them, right? So that's kind of a good role to continue, rather than trying to give that to a vendor, if you will, through an RFI where a vendor would have control over the controls. Keep that aspect of the program more community-based. That was the language I was trying to use with that community language, Eric.
Okay, but not ICANN, it's the community. It's still to be defined financial responsibility. Yeah, I just got a big burst of static on my line.
Yeah, I did too, and it could be.
Yeah,
it could be my wireless card. Sorry, I just moved my machine away. Okay.
Yeah, that's the people cause of that. I'm just trying to point out that the ICANN community is one thing, but the origination for this service model is outside of ICANN. It's in financial services, which presently doesn't have a single TLD.
Correct. Yes. I don't know if I can fix that one.
That's what we're trying to get done. Or say that it can't be done.
Right. So does that influence then this RFI process or no?
So if you're looking for a secretariat function, it really doesn't matter.
Right.
It's really the who is or what, how we hold the set of requirements and their evolution. If it's to an entity that really has no central concern with those requirements, then the requirements will be diffused over time or lost over time. So since that isn't ICANN's brief, that probably isn't where we want to have the requirements held.
So you're in favor of actually moving the requirements machine to through RFI process to another entity as well?
Yeah, the gnomes of Zurich or somebody. You know, somebody who actually cares about what we're doing.
Okay. So maybe we expand that RFI to the whole HSTLD program.
Well, I wouldn't say one for the entire thing. I'd rather distinguish between the secretariat function, which could be done by any idiot, including myself, and the requirements bag-holding activity, which we haven't found anyone qualified to do yet.
Gotcha. So then maybe a few RFIs, one for the overall sort of operational secretarial function. I'll call it operational aspect of the program, and one for the standard setting.
Yeah, and which includes selecting, you know, determining which auditors actually are qualified. Stuff
yeah,
like
the, right. The qualities of the assessors. What I try to
and
call.
Yeah, and the standards to which they assess.
Right. Okay, I could add that as a if we want, I can add that. So instead of just vote on RFI recommendation as it reads in the minutes, I can clarify sort of a vote on the an RFI of the operational function and a vote on the RFI for the standards function, standards and requirements function. I think that's actually a pretty good way to look at it, because those are the two big buckets, right?
Yep.
Does anybody else want to weigh in on that? So that's actually four little votes that we could take.
This is Mikey. I'd like to get in the queue.
Mikey, I think I'm... Go ahead. I guess I'm queue manager. Go ahead.
You're queue manager. I think we might want to... I'm going to dial us all the way back to the earlier part of the call where Eric brought up the distinction between the root and the leaves. I think that's worthy of another vote. I was distracted when he said it, but I think it's an important distinction that's been bugging me, and I haven't been able to articulate it as well as he did. So... if I could lobby for another vote on, or another vote item on that, I'd put in a plug for that.
Okay, and let me see if I can clarify this in votable language. Let me see if I got this concept correctly. There's three levels of controls that the principles cover. There's the registry level, the registrar level, and the registrant level. I think the tree and the leaves conversation goes to which levels should be covered by the HSTLD. Should registry be covered? Should registry and registrar be covered? Or should registry, registrar, and registrant be covered? So there's really three little options there. Is that what you guys are thinking about when you're talking about the trees and the leaves?
Certainly, that's what I'm thinking about. Eric has to speak for himself on this, but think there's a huge difference between the first two and the last of those.
Complete agreement.
Okay.
And pursuant to the previous hour's call, every time we say registry, we really mean registry. Operator is a contracted party, which may be a guy in a Cayman Islands in a bathing suit. And the registry backend services provider, which may be, VeriSign's Atlas platform in Reston, Virginia.
Right.
So those are included when we say registry.
I can expand that language, Eric. Is there similar type of expanded language I should use with registrar?
Yeah, there is, unfortunately. There's registrars and resellers.
Okay.
And then with registrant, you might as well toss in registrant and proxy registrant.
Yeah, good one.
And I'm not at all unsympathetic to the interests of the of INTA, but I really care about the roots much more than I care about the registrars, and infinitely more than I care about the registrant when I'm thinking about how the zone itself has provable security properties and the management of the zone.
Right.
Oh, this is Mikey again. Eric's on to another distinction which might be worthy of a vote, and that is the zone, the actual DNS, and the use of the domains. I think this is another confusing issue, especially when we get out to registrants and talk about bad actors and so on, then we get into the use of domains. Whereas, again, I may be putting words in your mouth, Eric, but when we talk about the zone, we're talking about the security of the DNS.
Correct.
I'm pausing here because I'm I think there might be another thing to talk about, but I don't know what it is yet. That's my limitation.
It's another votable item. It's completely different than the one that I brought up before, so we might want to finish the first one off.
Oh, okay. So then I've got a vote on. It's really a three-level vote. It's, you know, should we cover just registry? Should we? I'll use the abbreviated language, but I can use the larger language, Eric, you described in writing it up. Registry, registrar, registrant. You know, it's. Do we do one? Do we do one and two, or do we do one, two, and three? To really say that we've got a high security TLD, right?
In fairness, you should also say just do three and two, because you end up showing some absurd condition if you say just do three but don't do one.
Right, that's what I was getting at. That's what I was saying: one and two, and then one, two, and three, rather than going back up from the leaves to the tree, if you
right.
will, going from the tree out.
You see, the INTA and others might be satisfied with an answer that was three only.
But would that really get us a high security TLD, though?
That points out the absurdity of looking for the properties of the leaves.
Right. Without looking at the tree. Something about the forest and trees there. Maybe I can make that leap. I don't know. I think it only holds, I mean, My take on that is it really only holds if you start with one, the registry, and work out, right? If we were to come up with a different, you know, type of program, then maybe, you know, that wasn't really looking at the whole HS, you know, the whole TLD, then maybe you could start at the leaves. But this is really meant to be the high security top level domain. If you don't start with the registries, I don't see how that chain holds together.
This is Mikey. I'd be okay starting at the root and working outwards as the choices. It's at least a good first approximation. I think the usefulness of this voting question will be to highlight how much we're agreed on whether or not the registrants are in scope, which is, I think, a crucial issue to get nailed down.
Yeah, I think there has been a lot of dialogue around. I think you're right, Mike. I think there's a lot of dialogue on that, and it's reflected practically through principle number four currently, but there has been a lot of dialogue there. Anybody else want to weigh in on this one? Okay. I'm going to come back to you, Mikey, and I'm going to give you the ball for a second because there was another vote, and I know I missed it. and I don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, let me see if I can. I'll take a first try. Eric can come in and refine it. Others can too. I think the issue is the one of the use of the domain and whether or not that is in scope. And, you know, this, what I was reminded of is some of us are on the registration abuse working group.
Right.
And we've had a very tasty discussion as to whether the use of a domain is within the purview of that working group. And in a sense, that's also an issue for this one. One approach to this, and I'm not as good at this as Eric, but I'll take a try, and that is you could say that you have a very secure, very stable TLD that's got lots of malicious use going on.
You've got a lot of bad actors at the registrant level. Is that
yeah.
the thought?
Yeah. And so, in a way, it's kind of a variation on that other question. But I haven't read the comments because I'm swamped with some other stuff, but if the financial services folks are really after stopping malicious use of the domains through this high-security TLD program, and other folks are zeroed more in on the security and stability of the root, that's an important distinction that we need to understand how we feel. And so a first try at the question would be something like, should malicious use of domains be included in the objectives of the HSTLD program? Now, that's a hack job. And Eric, I'm throw me a lifeline here, Eric. I'm going down without a trace. But
first,
that's
you
my
should
first.
Have said of the root. Because we don't care about the root. We care about
$3, $4D,
I don't know, dot money or something.
Yeah.
That's when you say the root, that's where it ends, not the thought behind that. We don't care about the invisible dot. That's somebody else's headache. So we're asking if the purpose of the secure zone matters. So we've got dot mil, which is operated by one bunch of bandits, and dot peace, which is operated by another bunch. And they both have similar provable properties. They're both auditable. They're both highly secure. Do we care that Mill blows things up and Peace does not? It's entirely possible to have a registry which meets the criteria for HSTLD and registrars which meet whatever criteria are appropriate for registrars, which have a purpose which is incompatible with the financial services sector. For instance, it could be the mafias, you know, the Russian business.
Yeah, that's right. It's a really well-controlled mafia, TLD.
they can be well-organized and law-abiding, and their purpose is simply a purpose that, stunts children's growth.
To save the children angle, yeah.
I'm sitting in front of my children's school where it's peaceful and quiet. So what Mikey was pointing out was the difference between what we can say about the zone and the purpose to which the zone is put. And so the question to us is whether or not the purpose falls within our scope.
Currently, I haven't examined purpose at all because that's very difficult to do from a auditable control perspective.
But if we could distinguish between .gov and .mil, let us say .gov is a useful entity and it, you know, causes government to work, and .mil is a useless entity and it blows things up. Yet they both have the same properties in terms of what we are auditing. I think that's the nature of the question that we're grappling with.
Yeah, and then this is Mikey again. I would add on one more thing, which is if the objective of the HSTLD program is to prevent the malicious use of a .money domain by a registrant. That's one layer further out the tree. So there's actually two questions here again. One is the purpose to which the zone is going to be put. That's Eric's point. And then what I heard and made up on my own is the use to which the actual delegated subdomains are put.
Right,
for the,
just
for the
use. Have conspicuous data, but very bad purpose.
Right. So this may be a red herring, but, you know, if you can make sense out of all this, Andy, it would be useful, I think, for us to have a question on this, too.
Okay. I'll do my best. I will say this, though. I don't know how we would certify or audit purpose or intent. So as you guys are talking, I'm quietly listening, and I'm thinking, I don't know if there's a good way to do that, right? Because that's an interpreted position versus a specific control to the earlier call for those that were on it. You know, you get an audit program, and essentially you've got a lot of, you know, qualified individuals running around and checking to see that things are operating as expected and as advertised, if you will. That's doable with a control and certification program. Intent and purpose, though, you'd have to have some adjudicating body determine what those meant.
Well, we actually have that in the, not that I want to say that this is, we have purpose measurement within the application process itself, independent of the HSTLD activity.
Right.
We've had it in the past, we have it in the present. So, it's not a completely intractable problem. However, I think the most important question we have of this in this discussion in the last half hour has been whether or not our scope extends to those leads of the namespace. I think that's really the hardest question for us.
Yeah, that gets back to that question we have on the table of the registry, registrar, registrant level, correct? Correct, Eric? Am I tying that correctly?
Correct.
Okay. Because that I can get my head around. We've... You know, from a control perspective, we've actually got a draft structure that covers all three, and the vote really is that right, you know, or should we not?
From a scientific perspective or from a lobbyist perspective, it's really, who do we listen to, the intellectual property constituency or the Union of Banks of Mars? Which one gives us the best guidance here? And if their guidance is incompatible with each other, then we have a problem. We really do have to select one over the other.
So is it sufficient in the voting to look at those three levels at this point?
That's fine with me, Andy.
Okay. Let's do that for now. I think this is one of these types of things that, you know, today we have an answer we think we're comfortable with. That, you know, as we're developing, if that changes, I think we should. Right? Somebody's getting into a car.
Yeah, just opening
out of our power.
All right. So we're getting kind of close on time. So let me quickly go over what I have heard from a voting perspective. We want to get a vote on the mandatory or voluntary optional nature of the program. We want to get a vote on the report card and certification model. And then we've got a vote on two votes on RFI, one for RFI of the operational functions of the program, and one for RFI around the standards setting elements of the program. And then the final vote we have is, I'll call it the tree and the leaves vote, and that's a three-stage vote. Should we have just registry? It's a scoping vote. Should we have registry in scope, registry and registrar in scope, or registry, registrar, and registrant in scope? Does that encapsulate everything? Okay. I'm going to go that with that as a yes. And then, Mike Palaise, are you still on? He might be
muted.
Yeah, he's probably muted, trying like mad to get off. Okay, so we're coming up on about 5 minutes left. So with the remaining 5 minutes, what I'd like to do is take a minute or two and just open it up to general QA for everybody, and then as we traditionally do, go through roll call and make sure that nobody has everyone's spoken. I think that's how Mike traditionally closes down. So first of all, open up to general QA. Does anybody want to get a piece of the floor for a minute or two on any subject related to HSTLD?
No, this is Eric, yes.
Go ahead, Eric. You're a floor master again. Go ahead.
Okay. Thus far, the structure of this activity has been rather specific, and an area that is not included is at least two, if not most of three, of the areas I think of when doing information security. So I want to... All right, my son's making noise. Accessibility has to be something that we address at some point. So I'll stop there. Thanks.
Okay, Eric, and this is Andy. A quick response on that one. I think you've done this pretty in detail already, you may have done this already, but take a look at the control structure and see if we've got some gaps there. Maybe we can hone in on that for the next technical and or over the email chain. That's a great thing for us to focus in on to make sure we've got enough coverage. Anyone else want to get in general QAQ? All right, I'm going to go through roll call and make sure everyone's had their say. So everyone be prepared to get off mute. And my voice is going away. I've been talking too long, so hopefully I can get through this. Derek Andres, did you have anything else to add? Sorry.
No, not at this time. I just see it as a voluntary program, and I'll send comments to the list.
Awesome. Thanks, Derek. John McElwain, you're up. Did you have any final comments for the group?
Yeah, only that when drafting the last question on the root, the branches and the leaves or whatever, maybe as I wasn't on the first call, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I think I grasped what some of the concerns are, and I'm not sure it's as easy as just voting on a root, a tree, and a leaf. In other words, there's going to be issues, control issues, that are going to be imposed upon the root because of security concerns that are going to be existing in the branches and the leaves. I think that's a correct statement. So I just don't want it to throw out any good security measures by a vote that is on what now, in my mind, a pretty nebulous concept.
Would you be let me test the waters on this one a minute, John. Would you be in favor of holding that RFI vote out until we've had a full pass through the control structure?
Well, I think they will go hand in hand on the whole RFI situation. I mean, my point more is on the I don't think anybody is not on the same sheet of music concerning what controls theoretically need to be in place. So, you know, as you were saying, the purpose, nothing has been intended by any discussion I've heard so far to try to regulate content, purpose, et cetera, of websites.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think we just have to be careful in how, you know, if we vote not to include one part of this ecosystem, that it doesn't affect some of the other security measures that would be impacting the part we leave off.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, I can give you a specific, which would be, you know, if we require registrants to provide truthful, you know, address information, that may be done by requiring the registrars to send out an email every year to verify correct information. So that would be a situation where you have a duty imposed upon not a registrant, but would be getting to an issue relating to a registrant. That's the point I'm trying to make.
If I could,
go ahead.
Yeah, let's talk about DNSSEC for a moment. We have registries already which are signed. For instance, .museum was signed. But none of the registrant data is yet signed. but there's a clear division between things that we can say about the root of .museum, root of .org, the root of .gov, the root of .mil, which we can't yet say, and we may never be able to say, about the leaves in the names of those in those namespaces. By leaves, I mean second-level domain names. So the question that we have about root versus leaf is a question that's about things like DNSSEC. Are there assertions that we can make which are provable but can't be proved to the limit of the tree, but can be proved about the root of the tree? I hope that cleared this up.
Yeah, well, the whole confusion results on we've never had a discussion yet today of trying to impose upon either one of these branches, a branch or a leaf, any information that would not be knowable by the upstream, that's the right way to look at it, component.
Right, but we do now have that with registries being signed, but registrant data not being signed.
I'm not sure I follow you there.
The .gov zone file is signed, but none of the entries in it, which are subdomains of .gov, are signed. The same is true for .museum. The zone for .museum is signed, but none of the sub-delegations, none of the zones underneath it, none of the registrant data has that property being signed. Hello?
Yeah, I was saying, okay. I mean, it's still, the point is that in voting on one portion of this tree, we shouldn't rule out controls that would impact another portion of the tree, was my point, if that makes sense. And I tried to give an example.
Okay.
Maybe, guys, maybe, this is Andy. Maybe I can offer a practical solution here. So I had the thought a minute ago of completing our task of going through, you know, principles 1, 2, 3, and 4. Maybe we should go through all of that exercise first and get that control structure to what it's a little bit more concrete in that we've all sort of had eyes on it and fixed up its errors and made it something that we think is palatable. Then we should ask that level question. Because that level is in the program is practically represented through the principles. So maybe we should hold off on that vote, is what I'm saying, for a month or so while we go through the controls.
Yeah, it may very well be control specific, and we can just deal with it on that level.
Yeah, because if you look at it, you know, principle number one is really all about the registry. Principle number two is pretty much about the registry. Principle number three is about the registrar, and principle number four is more about the registrant. So, like that tree and leaf structure is somewhat represented right through the control structure we're working on. Sort of like that's where the rubber meets the road, if you will allow me to use that. So would anyone be opposed to holding off on that, you know, voting on these other areas, but holding off on that particular vote?
This is Mikey. The reason I'd like to get a vote on it, or at least get a sense of the group on it, is because we've been delaying this discussion through the whole discussion.
Okay, fair
and,
enough.
You know, okay. I think at some point we need to get a sense of where people are at.
Why don't we do this? Similar to what we did with the mandatory and voluntary, why don't we make that a straw man poll where the other ones are sort of an official vote? That way we get your sense, but we don't commit until we finish the control structure, you know, details.
Well, and John, my fundamental question I have, and I'm not explaining it well, but I'll give another hypothetical. Let's say in order to be a high security zone, TLD, the registrars had to have UDRP provisions in all of their registration agreements. Is that a leaf or a branch issue? I don't know. Or a root issue?
Right. How does that control actually get actioned?
I mean, I don't know whether are people's opinion that is impacting a leaf, but it really is a control we're imposing upon a branch, and that's what I don't understand.
John, I think that you hit it on the last sentence. I think if the controls, it's where the controls are imposed that drives this.
Okay, yeah, and that's
and
what I
thought. And what principle number four does is it imposes controls on registrants. So that's really, you know, maybe that's a refinement of the question is, who is having controls imposed upon them by this? Is it registries? Is it registries and registrars? Is it registries, registrars, and registrants? That, I think, is the issue that
yeah. I can vote on, yeah. I understand to vote on that, yes.
So imposing...
Okay, guys, everybody, this is Pelage. We're kind of over time here. So, again, Andy, I think a lot of these questions, I think what we need to do is you and I need to take a first crack at a survey, and
yep.
then we need to put it out to the list because I don't see much more refinement sort of on the remainder of this discussion. I think we need to put words on paper or, you know, electrons in a magnetic device and send them, whatever. I mean,
yeah, let me have a swing at that right now.
Yeah, I mean, what we have to do is we have to provide words that we can look at and refine and get to consensus. And once we have that survey that there is consensus, that it's objective and it's questionnaire, then we put it out, then we start data gathering. I think that's the approach. Because, again, I just see a lot of cyclical detail. And again, since we're at the end of the call here, I just do want to – I think it's important to just, again, give everyone, you know, 30-second wrap-up before ending a two-hour call for some people.
All right, John, I think that was you. Thank you. That was good. Mikey O'Connor, you're next. Any last words?
No, I've spoken way too much already. Thanks.
Thanks, Mikey. Mike Pelage, you're next.
I have lots of work to do, so I'll just shut up and get ready to start drafting with you, Andy.
All right. Eric, you're up. Any last-minute words? I think you're on mute.
If you can't hear my birds, then I'm on mute. I'm on mute. Go ahead and shoot me now.
Any last-minute words, Eric?
Nope.
Okay, thanks very much. Frank Martin, any last-minute words from you?
No, thanks. Everything's fine.
Thank you. Jonathan Franks, anything from you?
Yeah, just one word, voluntary. That's it.
Thank you. And Brian Cute, you're the last on the list here. Any last-minute words from you, Brian?
No.
And with that, we conclude a two-hour marathon call for some people. And, again, everyone, I think, Andy, thank you for, being the principal driver during these last 2 hours. Everyone, please look out for the questionnaire. And again, we're going to take a first shot at it. If you do have concerns, it is not intended to be the last version. We appreciate there will probably need to be some revisions. And again, we're not trying to stack the deck or have any loaded questions. We really do want these to be objective to get the most important data points so we can go forward. So thanks again, everyone. And again, look for the list, and we'll speak next week. Have a good one. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, gang. Thanks, Andy.
Bye.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your attendance. You may disconnect at this time.